Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna get ready. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? You better get your house in order. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do?
It's been a trying week, I tell you. It's just been going.
and look like my body is just tired and I cannot get enough rest of life. But I know, you know, it's just like a car. You know, God refuses us and then we're ready to get back on that mission again. And so I'm just so delighted to be able to come across these airways to share with you the divine word of God as I know it to be. And so without any further ado, I would like to give you the numbers on the monitor. And if you have any prayer petitions at the closing of this program, you are we eager encourage you to call into the studio. And those numbers are 646-230-74, 877-598-8654. Those numbers once again, 646-230-74 and 877-598-8654. You're welcome to call in at your discretion. And if you have any testimony that you would like to share, or God has worked a miracle in your life and you want to share it with us, we are just eager to hear from you. And feel free to call in, hallelujah, at this time. And so if there be any testimonies, we're going to go into our scheduled program. And our sermon on tonight entitled, New Social Realities. And I want to say that one more time, New Social Realities. And we know that we are forever in a changing dynamic world, which revolves around us. And every day that me and you lay down and get back up, there's a new element that has been put in place. A new law has passed. While you and I are in dreamland, there are yet being stipulations and, you know, different rules of law that have been implemented in our lives for us to abide by. And so we know that the biblical faith, hallelujah, is dynamic and alive and able to creatively address the problems posed by a change in social reality. And also a biblical faith, a foundation that is bold, no confront the social issues that fracture the church. Then there is also a biblical faith that does not ignore, rationalize, or spiritualize these issues. We know that the Bible, we know that the biblical truth and the faith is grounded in God, who is big enough to handle all of our social problems. And I tell you, our problems are, it's just a truckload of problems that we encounter every day in our personal lives and in our spiritual lives. We just encounter all kind of things. So we have to be on our guard. We have to be vigilant, and we have to stay grounded in God's word to know how to address these issues. You know, like, you know, when you're being stopped, you know, by law enforcement, you know, it's not, we're not to get ugly, but we are to retain our dignity and courteous, because they are the men and women that keep us safe. And so in spite of whatever is going through, we still have to go by the ground rules and regulations of the law, as well as God's spiritual law, you know, so that don't give us a right to, you know, to talk down or out of turn to anyone. You know, everyone is human, and we will respect each other, you know, with dignity and respect that what God would allow for us to do. And so, you know, and then, you know, I see to where I was just talking earlier today, and the Lord had brought to mind about our cell phones. You know, our cell phones is a tool in which we need. It's an everyday need. You know, we carry it along with us. It's just, you know, a part of our body wear. We carry it along with us. It's like a belt or a tie or suspenders, you know, a pair of socks, shoes. We carry this digital element everywhere we go. Sometimes we go carry it into the laboratory, you know, into the laboratory. And we carry it, you know, we at home, we just carry it all out through the home, you know, in the kitchenette area, you know, the dining area, in the family room, in the den, you know, in the pastor's study. And so we just carry these digital devices everywhere we go. But, you know, we don't want to just wear out our welcome. You know, they are needed at a tedious time, but, you know, I believe that if we keep going in the rate and the way that we're going, if I believe in a little while they're going to be banned from you taking your phone, you know, and videoing anything, because, you know, we're getting really too drastic with it. You know, if you're going to do something, you don't have to tell everything that you're going to do. Just do it, and you don't have to talk. Just let the pictures talk for you, because after a while, you won't have those privileges allowed it. So we're talking about new social realities, and that is a reality. And so if we don't want these things banned, or the, you know, the use of what we use them for to be banned, then we're going to have to find another way to address each other with these devices. You have to stay, you know, with the dignity and respect of others. If you want to be treated with dignity and respect, you're going to have to give it. And even sometimes if we're not treated well, you know, then you just do what you need to do. Let God lead you to do what you know is right. And then, you know, we know that God will make everything to pan out, you know, smoothly. But, you know, with all of this, you know, using profanity, you know, with the law enforcers, when they stop you on the side of the road, that's not right, because you're just making a bed for yourself. You're making yourself to be, you know, carried on to the jail and the picture photoed and fingerprinted, and then there you are in jail. Someone is going to have to come down and bail you out. There's money that you could use for other resources, you know. So we're going to have to find out a new way to address things, you know. And if the officers stop you, it's nothing to do. If he asks you for your driving credentials, it's nothing to do. But, you know, either you have them or you don't have them. And you say, well, officer, you know, I don't have my license. You know, maybe they've been revoked, they've been expired, I lost them, or whatever the case might be. But because you're not going to win. So you just might as well just, you know, abide by the questions that's asked of you and to do that. Because if not, you're going to suffer the consequences. I'm telling you, because you're not going to be able to outbeat the law, because, honey, they are, they are large in numbers. And so you just do what you're supposed to do, because one thing about it, we need them. Whether you want to acknowledge it or not, we need them, because without them, we would be in a world of trouble. You wouldn't be able to sleep well at night, thinking somebody's going to come in on you, you know, rape you, you know, and do some harm to you, kill you, stab you, shoot you, you know, or what have you. So we need them in our lives. And all of them is not bad. You know, it's some good in everything. It's some good food. It's some not so good food. It's some good cooks. It's some people that can't cook at all. You know, so it's a good and a flip side of everything in this life. But we have to, you know, do it in a mannerly and orderly way in order to be effective. And so I'm just going to get back into the word, but I thought I would share that with you that are out there in my digital listening audience on tonight. And so we find out that the early church in our scripture reading found itself fractured by differences in nationalities and language. And the Greek-speaking Christians discovered that their widows were being discriminated against within the church. And we find out that the Hebrew-speaking widows were receiving preferential treatment. And the social division between these two different groups of Christians marred the fellowship of the church. And this was because this problem had fractured the church. It was a social and public, and the solution to the early church sought was equal as social and public. And the 12 created a new position, the office of deacon, within the church structure to institutionalize fair treatment. Thus, they created a new structure in the church to address a changing social reality in order to ensure the advancement of the gospel. So let us pray for the church today to be fully creative in addressing our ever-changing social reality. That's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about the new social reality. Hallelujah. And so may God strengthen each of us to confront our social problem with the same wisdom and the same courage and honesty that he gave the early church, so that the gospel might be advanced in our time. Hallelujah. And just like I first stated, you know, we are to do things decent and order. And even if you're not into, you know, the Christian faith, you still have humanly intelligent, you know, that you was born with. And so you're just going to have to implement those traits, you know, out here in this world, because we're living in a diverse world. We live in an ever-unchanging world. And so we're going to have to be able to change with the flow. And we know that we treasure the scriptures. And we know that the scripture is God-inspired word. And it teaches us the way to abundant life in this world and eternal life in the world. To come indeed, it is the source of a wisdom that goes beyond that of the wildest philosopher. Now, we look into the law of Corinthians 1 and 20. But this fact is rarely acknowledged in our culture. And so we are told that Martin Luther King Jr., we was told that for his insight into the human nature, he derived from the scriptures that he felt that King had a more accurate view of political reality than his more secular liberal allies, because he could draw on biblical wisdom about human nature. And we know that religion didn't just make civil rights leaders stronger, it made them smarter. Hallelujah. And books said furthermore that the biblical wisdom is deeper and more accurate than the wisdom offered by the secular social scientists. And I would just like to ask, are we drawing on that source of wisdom in our own lives? We need the scripture wisdom to deal with our personal problems and political issues. But we know if we study and obey the Bible, we will be able to humbly testify with the psalmist that I have more understanding than all of my teaching. For your testimonies are my meditation. That scripture reading is found in the Law of Psalms 119 and 99. We know that the Bible is God's word to us. It's still fresh through all the ages. And if we read it, we will find God's wisdom on its pages. One truth from the Bible is worth more than all the wisdom of man. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. We thank you, God, because we know that we need you in this time in which we live. We need you in every hour, in every avenue, every sector of our personal and / spiritual life. And even though we know that some of us, some of our parents and grandparents and our uncles and our aunts, they're getting older, and we're getting older as well, you know. And so, but we know that even getting older doesn't mean you can becoming obsolete, because you're very important in this society. But we know that it can mean growing and maturing and serving and ministering and venturing, enjoying ourselves to the end of our days. And we know that old men ought to be explorers. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And to just have a blast while you last in this life. To idle away our last years is to rob ourselves of what could be the best years of you and our lives, and to deprive the church of the gift that God has given unto you and I. And we know that it enriches it. There is still service to be rendered, and there are victory to be won. We know that some older folks may not have the energy or inclination for leadership, but we know they are still invaluable access to the next generation of leaders. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And so we know that the psalmist also desired to pass along his understanding of the Lord to others as he prayed. He said, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation. That scripture reading is found in the law of Psalms 71 and 18. We too should remain open to being used by God to enrich other lives. We find out that our greatest usefulness may be to pass our understanding of God on to others. Hallelujah. We know that the longer we live, the more that we know. Old age is the time for wisdom to show. We know how much good some words we might say could do for the elders of some future day. To forget the elderly is to ignore the wisdom of the years. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. And so we know that we should just keep on doing what we know to do is right. You know, keep on keeping on until, you know, our time is up, until Jesus raptures us out of here. And even so, we're going to go into our key scripture on tonight. Hallelujah. And so let me go to our key scripture. I hope I can get to it pretty fast. And it reads like this. It says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? That scripture reading is found in the law of 1 Corinthians 1 and 20. And so in this new social reality, we find out that we still have hungriness that's going on in our world. You know, people are hungry for the lack of food, for the lack of money, you know, for the lack of need. And so the scripture tells us in the law of Deuteronomy 15 and 11, it says, open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and your needy in your land. And we know that we have sought out and visioned in our travel to and fro the man that sits on the street corner day after day begging for money. We know that he's poor and he's desperate for a little cash to spend on food. He's not alone, because we are told that more than one half of the world, that people lives below the international defined poverty line, are less than $2 a day. Poverty and hunger are such a big problem in our world. And we know that that isn't easy for us to feel helpless or to become hard-hearted and do nothing. But God doesn't close his eyes to the plight of the poor. When he gave his people guidelines for living, he included instructions on ways to care for the needy. That's in the law of Deuteronomy 15 and 11. He told his people, you shall not harden your heart, nor shut your hands from the poor brother or sisters, but open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need. That's in verse 7 through 8. We know that God has commanded his people not to glean the corners of their fields so that the less fortunate could gather food. That's in the law of Leviticus 19 and 9 through 10. And Jesus showed his compassion for the poor by his words and actions. And you and I, too, as Christians, we cannot ignore the plight of the poor today. Individuals and churches can join with Christian organizations working to combat poverty as they spread the word. God has a heart for the poor. I want to ask you, do we? The poor and needy everywhere are objects of God's love and care, but they will better know his care as we seek ways that love to share. And we know that God gives us all we need so we can give to those in need. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we also know that typically, as we age, we lose our prominence and our position of influence in our society, in our ever-changing new social reality. And our position of influence, even those of us who have never sought the limelight, seem increasingly to fade into the shadows. Obscurity and anonymity are good. But we know, however, for it is difficult to perform in public without wondering what impressions we're making on others. We fret over the extent that our reputation of being enhanced or endangered, and therein lies our peril. To the degree that we seek human recognition, we forfeit God's approval. On the other hand, to lose the admiration of men's and women's may turn us to seek God's approval only. Here is a test for our gifts, our prayers, our fasts. Are they done for God's eyes only? If so, though overlooked and unnoticed by others, we have our Father's acknowledgement and reward. Three times Jesus repeated to his disciples, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. That's found in the law of Matthew 6 and 4, and then 6 on through 18. This is our assurance as well that every unobserved gift of time, of our energy, and of love, every petition we whispered in our Father's ear, every secret inward struggle against sin and self-indulgence will be fully rewarded in due time. In the end, his answer would be, a response would be, well done, good and faithful servant, and all that will matter, will be. All service rendered to the Lord is sure to gain his rich reward. And if we work with motive pure, our weakest effort will endure. There is no reward from God to those who seek it from men. Nay. I hope and I pray that I've said something to inject your spirit and impact your mind, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you are most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God's House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Your station has been Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the old ship of Zion. Send your correspondence and make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Till we meet again across these skyways and highways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. We will bring some encouraging hymns of praise, and I hope that it will just enlighten your spirit as it has enlightened mine. And may God bless you and keep you is my prayer. And we are also allow the conclusions of these selections to bring our program to its closure. Until we meet again, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Bye for now. We're going to bring you Psalms of Praise.
brand new day.